Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. We'll read two verses together. We'll read them both in unison. We'll read verse 32, and then we'll also read verse 36. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let's get down to verse 36. You ready? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do in this place. Lord, there were dozens of people at the altar this morning, and many, many that were saved, and folks that were baptized, and hearts and lives, and probably marriages that were saved. God, please, this morning's blessings won't do tonight. We're a needy people. We're sinful people, and we need you tonight in a special way. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as you've done so many times. Do it again and change our hearts and our lives and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is How to Break a Habit. How to Break a Habit. Two verses we've already read. We'll use many other scriptures. Let me reread these verses to you. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You drop down just a few verses to verse number 36. It says, and the Son therefore shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed. Now, when it talks about this freedom here, it's not just talking about we're free of the curse of our sin that would send us to hell. Now, when you get born again, you're free. You get to go to heaven because of that. There's a freedom that's called salvation. But wait a minute. God that not only made us free of the curse of sin and death, but we also are free to have a victorious Christian life. And God wants us to be victorious. There was a young lady that I dealt with when I was a youth director in Central Indiana. I worked at the Maranatha Baptist Church of Winchester, Indiana as a layman, much like Brother Ronnie Shiflett did for years. I worked with the young people there. And a young lady by the name of Sandy was in our youth department, had red hair, bright red hair, and she was a wildfire. I'll tell you, I remember one night, we'd been trying to get Sandy to live her life right, and one night, my wife and I were lying there in bed. We didn't have air conditioning. We had a big box fan, you know, the kind that fits just inside your window. That thing was on, and all of a sudden in the night, we heard a ghost. And, I mean, it was something. It was, hello, and it scared me to death. I thought, what was that? Well, somebody was talking through the fan. If you've not tried it, you need to try it. Now, don't get your nose too close. But, I mean, they were talking through that fan, and it was Sandy. And she was drunk. Now, at first, I did not realize it. But all I had to do is get up near that fan, and that old breath was getting sucked out of her lungs into my room, and you could smell it. It was bad. And she was talking through that fan, and she was laying out there in our flower bed, and she was drunk talking through our fan window. Well, we spent some time with her, and I said, Sandy, you've got to stop. You've got to stop. It's just a teenager, 14, 15 years old. She began to weep, and she said to me, she said, you don't understand. She said, when I was a little girl, my mom was a drinker, and my mom used to take beer. And when I was a toddler, my mom would put beer in my bottle. I'm talking about a bottle with a nipple on it. And she said, my mom would give me beer to drink, and I became the entertainment for her drunken friends. And I'd get drunk and bobble around, and she says, I've got friends that still tell the story. She said, Brother Owens, it's so hard. I have been drinking alcohol since I was a little child. Well, let me say, if you're like Sandy, there's a way to get away from the wrong habit, and the Bible tells us that way. I hesitate to say this, I'm going to, but my parents were saved later in life, and now they love the Lord and are diligently serving Him. But my mom and dad, when I was young, my mom and dad, they smoked for years, and I hated it. I used to send them notes. I would find these little brochures from the National Cancer Society, and I'd get them and leave them laying around the house because I wanted mom and dad to stop smoking. I even one time put a load in a cigarette. That's like a little firecracker. Only did that one time. That's not the way to do it, believe me. I used to hide their cigarettes. I would steal them one at a time and tear them up and flush them. I'd ask them to quit. I remember I'd take the Surgeon General thing off the sides of their cigarettes, and I'd post it everywhere. If you know, they used to have commercials that would come on to refute the smoking and things. I'd turn them up on the television real loud. I'd point out their breath. You know, camels make you smell like you are a camel. You get camel breath from smoking camels. I pointed out deaths in the paper. I was very kind. I said, "Here's somebody died from cancer, Mom. You're going to die." My wife and I, we had told my parents, I said, "I love you. I love you very much, and I wish that you would stop because it's best for you and it's best for your health." And I did not love them any less because they smoked. I loved them, and I wanted them to be healthy. I wanted them to be around a long time. One day, they took off on a motorcycle trip. They went up into Canada. They called me about 5 days later from Canada, and I could hear they were out on a roadside somewhere. You could hear the traffic going by, and my mom said, "Son, it is so beautiful out here." For 5 days, we had been on the motorcycle. They said, "It is your birthday in just a couple of days. And we called to let you know this is the last day we'll ever smoke again the rest of our lives. It is a gift to you for your birthday." And from that day forward, they have never smoked another cigarette. They left it completely. They took up gum chewing. Man, you ought to see my mom chew Juicy Fruit, man. That woman can go at it, but that's what she did. When we go out to the restaurants, we'd sit in the non-smoking section, and if you asked them why all those many years ago they quit, they would probably say, "It was the strength of the love of my son." I want to tell you a story from the Bible, and then I want to teach you how to break a habit. The children of Israel were in bondage. They were in captivity. They were in captivity to Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. Egypt in the Bible pictures the world. Now, Moses was God's chosen leader to lead them to freedom. Moses was negotiating with Pharaoh the release of God's children from this captivity. But there was a problem. Pharaoh would not let them go. Everything that God told Moses to say to Pharaoh, Pharaoh would reject it. He would play around with it. And finally, God said, "Moses, that's it. We're going to put our foot down. We're going to pull out the big guns here. We're going to take care of this once and for all. I want Pharaoh to let my people go." And so Moses, as a representative of God, went in to Pharaoh and said, "God has said, if you don't let my people go, the firstborn child of everyone in Egypt will die through the night." And Pharaoh said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let your folks go." And so God had said to his children, he said, "Now what you do is you take some blood from a lamb and you put it on the doorpost of your house." And God said, in the night, we'll pass through the land, and everybody that has the blood on the doorpost of their house, I'll know that that's my people. And if you don't have that blood on your doorpost, I'll know you're a rejecter of God, and the firstborn child of your household will die. And they woke up the next morning, all the children of Israel, their children were all living, they were all fine. You could hear the weeping and the wailing all over Egypt, because the firstborn child of every person under the administration of Pharaoh was dead. Then Pharaoh said, "Go. Get out of here. I want you to go. Go and lead me." Now, what you see here is that God is more powerful than the world. God is more powerful than that captivity, if you will. And after they took off, all these millions of people took off following Moses, Moses came to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is a huge body of water. Pharaoh changes his mind, and he's a liar, and he was all the way through anyway. And Pharaoh says, "Let's go get them, boys." And he got all of his chariots and all of his soldiers, and they take out after Moses and the children of Israel. Well, Moses and the children of Israel, they're back up against the Red Sea. They've got Pharaoh's army coming to massacre them from behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and they are trapped. Oh, praise the Lord. God opens up the Red Sea for Moses and the children of Israel. And the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Well, Pharaoh's army gets up there and they get to thinking, well, look at that. The sea is parted. We'll go across and get them. Well, the Pharaoh's army got right smack dab in the middle of that body of water, and God didn't hold the water back. It came and it drowned all of the Pharaoh's army. And the Bible says that the children of Israel didn't see them anymore. Now, when they got on the other side, they had been used to eating what they fed them back in Egypt. They got over there and their bellies started to growl. And they said, oh, where did God? We were back over there where we had plenty to eat. And God said, I'm going to change your diet. I'm going to provide you with manna, because that manna is going to, I don't want you reminded of what you had back there. I'm going to give you a new diet, because that new diet is going to help you now that you're free of your captivity. Then the Bible says that God told them, build a tabernacle. I want you to associate with me. I want us to be close while we're over here. And then you find out the children of Israel, Moses actually wrote a song, and it was a song of deliverance. It was a victory song, because now they're on the other side of the Red Sea. They've got a new diet. They've got new nutrition, and they have a tabernacle. They're associating with God, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. They're now singing the victory praises of God. Now, that story is going to help us as I teach you how to break a habit. I'm going to give you 6 steps tonight on how you can break free of captivity in your life. First of all, let me say this. Step number 1, for a person to break free of their captivity, they must admit they have a bad habit. You're going to have to admit that you have a bad habit before you're ever going to break that bad habit. Many a person has a difficult time admitting to a bad habit. Now listen to me, folks. Don't live your life in denial of your weakness. Don't live your life, if you have a vice, don't spend your life justifying it. You need to get it cared for, but you can't break a habit unless you'll admit that you've got a bad habit. And so, if you want to break out of the captivity of a bad habit, you're going to have to admit that you have it. For instance, I'm told this. I've never been to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but they tell me this. They say they'll teach you that the worst part about getting an alcoholic over their alcoholism is getting them to admit they're an alcoholic, because they don't want to admit to it. They say, oh, I can stop any time, but they don't. And they don't, and they don't, and they don't. And the devil's got them duffed, and their own conscience says, oh, I could quit any time, and they keep drinking. And so the hardest thing is get them to admit they have a problem. But once somebody admits they have a problem, the solution is available, and victory is at hand. We can liken it unto being in bondage. If you're in bondage in some area of your life, victory is available, but you're going to have to admit to the bondage. The children of Israel, they were in bondage. They were in captivity in Egypt. That's why I told you that story. Now you watch as I unfold the story of the children of Israel, and you'll see just the same way that they broke out of bondage, broke out of captivity. It's the very same thing that you and I should do as Christians to break free from the bondage of our sinful habits. Step number 2. Remember, step number 1, you're going to have to admit that you've got the problem. Step number 2, it's a thing that I call the law of freedom. Listen to me. The law of freedom. The children of Israel were in bondage. They were being held captive by Egypt and Pharaoh. Again, they were virtually being held by the laws of Pharaoh, or the laws of Egypt. The law of Pharaoh said, you're staying here, you're my captive. They had tried many things to get free, but finally God said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take those 2 lambs, we're going to kill the lambs, we're going to put blood on the doorpost of all the children of Israel. And then listen to what God said in Exodus 12, verse 12 and 13. He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. He said, I will slaughter the firstborn of all the Egyptians, but my blood will protect you. And you ought to thank God for the blood, because it's still the blood that is protecting us from being slaughtered. And so that was the deal. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Uh-oh, here it happened. There the Bible said it happened. You see, there was a law keeping them captive there. We see two laws actually taking place here. They woke up the next morning, exactly what God said had come to pass. Now, what are the two laws that we see here? We see Egypt's law of bondage, Egypt's law of captivity, but wait a minute, we see God's law come into practice. What's it? It's the law of freedom. It's the law of freedom. Did they get out of bondage? Well, it said in Exodus chapter 12, verse 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, this is Pharaoh speaking, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Pharaoh, after the law of God comes into play, Pharaoh says, get you forth and go. There we see it. There is the law of freedom. You see, there was the law of the captivity of Pharaoh, but when you get God's law involved in your captivity, it can help break you free. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 33, it says, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. I like it. You see, the law of captivity, Pharaoh's law, Egypt's law said, you're staying. We've got you captive. You can't get out. But God said, you better let them go, because I have a law that is more powerful than you. And that law kicks into gear. The blood is shed. And listen to how Pharaoh and his people are talking. They said they were urgent and said, get out of here. Get out in haste, quickly. Get out of here. Ah, I like that. In Exodus 12:41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now, they have come out of bondage. The law of God is a law of freedom. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Teenagers, look up here. A teenage girl not looking at a thing I say. And by the way, I counsel her, and she's got a problem with rock and roll music. And here I am helping you to figure out how to get out of that bondage, and you're playing. Pay attention. Pay attention. This could change your entire life. The law of God, or the law of freedom, is greater than the law of Egypt. By the way, remember, Egypt is a picture of the world. So, the law of God, that's the law of freedom, is more powerful than the law of bondage. To break a habit, you have to find a law that is greater than the law of bondage. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. It's found in Romans chapter 7, and you listen as I read. It says in Romans 7, verse number 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me there is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who is this? This is the Apostle Paul. He goes through the same thing you and I go through. Paul says, there's a good part of me. That's the saved part. And the bad part of me, that's the old fleshly carnal part. He said, and I want to do good, but the bad part of me fights the good part of me. And the good part of me fights the bad part of me. And I want to give up my bad habits. And he said, but I've got these two laws, the law of bondage and the law of freedom, and I struggle with it. And then he asked the question. He said in verse 24, who can deliver me? I'm in captivity. Somebody help me out of my captivity. But thank God, in verse number 25, he gives the answer. Who can deliver me? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, I can get you out of bondage, but you've got to get out of bondage based on the law of freedom. What's the law of freedom? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You want to break free of your bondage? Paul said, it's going to come through the words of Jesus Christ. Let me explain it to you. If you want to break free of a bondage, there must be a law that is greater than the law of this world. If you want to get out of captivity in your life, there must be a law that is greater than the law of that captivity or your habit. For instance, a rocket ship is held to the ground with a force or a law that we call the law of gravity. Exactly. Oh, you say, gravity, that's powerful. Yes, but there are laws that are greater than gravity. Say, like what? The law of thrust. How does a rocket ship break free of the law of gravity? Well, it is called the law of thrust, and the law of thrust can break you free of being attached to this world, and it is a law that is greater than the law of gravity. The law of thrust is more powerful than the law of gravity. Listen, you've got to find a law greater than that law of bondage or captivity or that habit. My parents were held by this bad habit of smoking. You say, what broke it? Love. Love. Charity never faileth. You see, there was the law of love that was greater than the law of smoking some weeds. Fine young lady came to me and she said, I'm changing the way I dress. I said, why? She said, I feel like I should. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do what you feel like doing. Do what the Bible says. Amen. You'll overcome your bad habits when you let the law of God strengthen you, and then you could be successful. I said, do it because the Bible says to do it. She came back and she said, I found out what the Bible says. I'm doing it. I said, now do it. Now do it. Hey, if your emotions talk you into it, your emotions will talk you out of it. But I've got news for you. The Bible, it don't change. It is the law that will help you to conquer your captivity. A good lady sat in my office this morning and she said, Brother Owens, you make it easier to get right because you show us in God's Word why it's wrong. We are, and this is what she said, you are changing our family's life. And she meant that and was very sincere. But may I say, I'm not. The Bible is changing her family's life. Jeff Owens can't change anybody. I can't change anybody because Jeff Owens is subject to change. The only way that I'm not going to change is if I stick with the old black book. And I'm going to stick with the old black book. By God's mercy and grace, I will. But let me tell you something. What you need to do, if you want to break a bad habit, if you want to get away from something bad, the first thing you better do is admit that it's a bad habit. Number two, you go to the law of freedom because you need a law that is greater than the law of bondage. And God's Word is greater than any bondage you face. You and God make a majority, and you can overcome together anything. 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 So, step one, admit it. Step number two, you need the law of freedom. Something more powerful than gravity, which is thrust, which will pull you away from your captivity. Step number three, I call it the law of separation. Listen carefully. I read to you an occurrence after the children of Israel came across the Red Sea. It says in Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now here's what happened. Remember, the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Here comes the Egyptian army. God parts the Red Sea. The children of Israel walk across on dry ground. The Pharaoh's army gets out in the middle of the Red Sea, and the water comes back and drowns them. And Moses said, watch what God does. He's going to make it so you see your captivity no more. Notice also it says the Lord will fight for you. That's the law of God. But his law will fight for you, and he will help you to separate yourself from your habit. Now listen, you need to see what the Bible says, then you need to separate yourself from the bad habit, from the captivity. That's what happened. When they broke out of bondage, what was happening here? God separated them. He put the Red Sea between them and their bad habit. Exodus 14:28 it says, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. They were given their freedom, and Pharaoh went after them. They got on the other side, and God said, I am going to separate you completely, entirely from the bondage. You've got to be a long way away from that captivity. Now, if you want to break your habit, you need to get far, far away from your habit. You got to get out completely, just like they got out of the land of Egypt completely. Exodus 12:32 it says, also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Pharaoh said, I want you out of here. I want you to take your flocks. I want you to take your herds. I want you to take your children, take all your stuff, and get as far away from me as you can. You know something? That's exactly what you need to do. You need to take all your things and separate yourself, get as far away from your bad habit as you can. You know, at one point in the negotiation between Moses and Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, you can go ahead and go, but leave your kids behind. And Moses said, we will not. We will not leave our children. Well, when the real separation came, the kids, mom and dad and everybody separated themselves completely on the other side of the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea and they couldn't get back. God closed it up. What was God saying? I got you out of there. Now don't go back. Don't go back. See, to break a habit, you need to make it impossible to return. Some of you need to cut all ties. To break a habit, don't slowly withdraw. Go cold turkey. Get it over with. Don't try to wean yourself off of the wrong kind of music. Don't try to wean yourself off of the liquor. Stop it. Stop it. Cold turkey. Stop it. Get away. Run. Run as far as you can. Stay away from it. When my parents gave up smoking, I was amazed. They gave it up the day they gave it up. They gave it up. Never smoked again. What's your habit? Bad music? Well, I'm going to wean myself. Good luck, bud. You'll be right back at it. You need to stop it. Is it gossip? Stop it. Don't say, well, I'll gossip a little bit each day and back off a little bit. In a few weeks, I'll have it done. No, you stop now. You separate yourself from the bad habit. When I gave up bad music in my life, I took it all and I burn it. Why? Because it was too tempting to have it around. I wanted free, and I wanted to be free indeed, and just like the children of Israel, the law of God broke them free of the captivity, and once they got started on their journey toward victory, God said, watch out, here it comes, it's coming back to get you. And God said, watch this, go on the other side of the Red Sea, I'll pop that baby open, make it dry, you walk across, turn around, look back, and I'm drowning it, I'm getting it over, I'm going to make it so you can't ever go back, because I don't want you back in captivity. Not a slow withdrawal. Get rid of the bad things. Don't keep things around to tempt you. I'm telling you, those of you that are changing your life and tucking things in boxes and hiding it, you're asking for trouble. You already know you're planning on going back. You've already made a way to go back. You already know that you're going to, then maybe I'll change my mind. You might change your mind, but God's never going to change His mind. And if what you change according to the Word of God. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you are making a way for yourself to go back to the habit. I'm saying to you, you separate yourself completely. Get rid of it. Burn it. Drown it. Throw it in the trash. But separate yourself from your bad habit. Hey, and don't get mad at me. Get mad at your sin and leave it behind. So how are we going to get away from this bad habit? Number one, you admit that you got it. Don't live in denial. Number two, you find the law of freedom, which is the law of God, because the law of freedom is more powerful than your habit or your bondage. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Number three, you must separate yourself from it completely. No slow withdrawal. Get rid of it. Say, that's it. I'm done. And make it so you can't go back. Listen, you're going to try to give up smoking, but you're going to keep a carton, hidden underneath the sink. Now you tell me, how's it working?
Yeah.
Anybody in here that's ever given up the wrong kind of music, if you kept it around, you know what you did? You went back.
Sure.
You went back. If you got a dirty magazine, you said, okay, I'll just put it back where I've been hiding it. What do you keep doing? You're not strong enough to have your bad habit in your back pocket without pulling it out, looking at it, tasting it, doing it, or enjoying it, because that's what your flesh wants. So you got to get away from it. Step number four, I call it the law of replacement. Numbers 11, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna for our... Let me show you something here. You know what happened? They got on the other side of the Red Sea, and they started remembering their old diet. They started saying, when we were back there in Egypt, we had all these things to eat. They were reminded of their captivity. Hey, doesn't the devil do that to you? Doesn't he bring that stuff back to you and entice you with it and say, remember what you used to do, what you used to wear, what you used to act like, what you used to listen to? Remember all that? And so, in Numbers 11, verse 7, it says, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of vegetable. Manna was their new diet. God said, you gave up the old diet. Now, I've got to replace it with a new diet. You see, it is called the doctrine of replacement. Their old food reminded them of bondage. To break a habit, you need to admit it. You need the law of God. You need to separate from it. And then you must replace the bad in your life with good. It's the doctrine of replacement. When you separate yourself, it leaves a void in your life. It creates a vacuum in your life. But God is not a void maker. God is a void filler. You are to take the bad out of your life, and you're to put good in its place. It's the doctrine of replacement. They couldn't stop eating. They would die. So God said, you don't have to stop eating. I'm going to give you new food to nourish you. When I gave up bad music, I didn't stop listening to music. I got rid of the bad and I replaced it with good. I found good music to replace it. And if you're going to give up bad, you'll have to replace it with good, because if you don't replace it with good, the bad will be ushered right back into your life. My parents, they replaced their cigarette smoking with chewing gum. And the big issue to me tonight is not cigarette smoking. It is an example, though I think you ought to stop smoking cigarettes, but it is an example of what we must do. My parents replaced the habit of smoking with chewing gum. You see, if you leave a gap in your life, the devil will be sucked right into that gap unless you replace that gap with something spiritual and holy. You replace your bad videos and DVDs with family devotions. You replace your bad clothing with good clothing. You can't go naked. You replace your bad music with good music. You replace your bad gossip with talking positively about people. You replace your laziness with hard work, but you got to replace the time. You can't just stop being lazy. You're going from bad to good. And so, if you want to break a habit in your life, what do? You're going to have to admit that it's there. Then you go to the law of God to help you break free. Then you must separate yourself from it completely. Then you must decide that you're going to replace the bad with good. Number 5, it's what we call the law of association. Again, back to the story of the children of Israel. Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Let them make me a sanctuary." Now they're on the other side of the Red Sea. They separated themselves completely. They have a new diet now. And this is what the Lord says. "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." He said, now that you're on the other side, you admitted you were in captivity. You had freedom to break you loose. You're separated completely. You've replaced the bad life with a good life. Now you need to associate with me. Build a tabernacle. Build a place. Build a sanctuary. And he says, to me. He's saying, now you need to be around good people and you need to be around me. You know, you're going to be like the people you spend your time with. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. If you want to break out of bondage, admit it. Let the law of God help you. Separate from it. You make sure that you replace it. Now, you've got to get to associating with the right kind of people. Now, you listen to me. You are not going to stay away from your bad music if every time you get in the car, somebody else is listening to it. Hey, you smokers, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to show you from the Bible how you can get over your bad habits. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. But any smoker here would tell you, if you're trying to give up smoking, you can't sit at a table with a smoker. It kills you. I mean, they're smoking and you're not, and you're going, bring it my way. Right or wrong? How do you know, Brother Nash? You got to learn when to say amen. He smokes Virginia Slims. God said, now you need to associate with me. They got on the other side of the Red Sea, and God said, we've replaced your diet. It's all behind us. Now I want you to associate with me. You're going to get free of that habit and stay free if you're not around that habit. That means this. You need church fellowship. You need to come to the church activities. That's why we have a men's activity. Have you noticed? I believe in a lot of activity. Why? I'm trying to get you to give up the old, but if I ask you to give up the old but don't provide new, then you're going to stay with the old. We're going to give you new so you can exchange the old for new. They say this to alcoholics, a true blue alcoholic. They say, what you have to do, it's not good for you to sit where somebody else is drinking. They'll even tell you this, you shouldn't even go in a bar. You should go nowhere that sells liquor. Temptation's strong. It's strong. They'll tell you, don't even go somewhere and get a glass of milk at the bar. Because you have associated yourself with the wrong things and the temptation may overcome you and you'll go back to where you came from. See, folks, God's laws are His personality. Spend time at activities at the church with people who obey God's book, and it will help you to get God's personality. You need to associate with God. You need to associate with God's people. When, you know something, and I think it ought to be this way. When people are around me, they behave themselves. They behave themselves. We took a trip down to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and took 4 or 5 of our good families with us. You wouldn't believe it. We were on a van for 20 hours together. 10 hours there, 10 hours back. There was not one negative comment, not one word of gossip, not a bit. Not a bad attitude. It was just fan-perfect. Do you know something? You're going to be like who you're around. You're not going to give up a bad habit and then spend all your time with people with that same bad habit and overcome it. You don't just separate from the bad, but you separate to the good. Stop the bad association and start good associations. And when you lose proper association, you immediately head back towards your bondage, your captivity. You lay down with pigs, you're going to end up with a curl in your tail. bad friendships contribute to your bad habits. Your association fuels your addiction. You ask anybody here that is an ex-drug addict and they'll tell you, I've got to stay away from my old friends that do drugs. I've got to stay away from my old friends that drink alcohol. And anybody who wants to overcome the smoking, you got to stay away from people smoking. And young people and adults alike, you know it as well as I do. If you want to give up wrong music, you got to stay away from it. It'll drive you batty. There's too much of it pumped inside you. There's that enticement for the flesh. Just like the Apostle Paul said, there's a war going on. There's the law of the Spirit, and there's the law of my flesh, and they war. Who's going to help me? Well, God gives His instructions how to get help. You just have to follow them. You didn't need to go see a psychologist to get over your bad habit. All you got to do is do what the Bible says. God gives us the example of the children of Israel getting out of a long, long bondage. You need clean friends with clean habits. Be around your Sunday school teacher. Spend time with God in prayer. You need good preaching. You need to be around good things. My parents knew something. They started sitting in the non-smoking section. Why? They knew they couldn't be with the smokers. People would say, well, why'd you quit? They said, well, Jeff loved us. You can't go to the bar without acting like you used to act. It's going to suck you right into the garbage of the bar. You admit it. You break free with God's law. You separate from it completely. You replace it with good, and you associate with good people. If people ask you why you quit or change, you say, because the Bible says so. God loves me. He wanted me to quit. Hey, now you must obey the law of freedom. Some of you, it's time for you to stop making excuses. No more procrastination. Stop putting it off. Follow the Bible. Stop the habit now. Step number six, and we're almost done. Step number six, the person needs to give God praise for his deliverance. When Moses got on the other side of the Red Sea, they built this tabernacle or sanctuary. They replaced their diet, and they started associating with the proper associations. Exodus 15, verse 1 and 2 tells about a song that Moses wrote. And it says, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. He begins to brag on the God that brought him out of bondage. You see, a person that has come out of bondage needs to testify of their deliverance of bondage. That's why we make public decisions around here. It's all the way through the Bible. It's all the way through the Bible. People say, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God said, I want you to make a public profession. I want you not to be ashamed with your mouth to tell people you're saved. Why? You once were lost, now you're found, now your voice needs to tell people that you're born again. You look at the story of the maniac of Gadara, and the first thing Jesus Christ said to him after he got saved, he said, now go tell all your friends what has happened to you. Why? He needed to go back and say, I'm a new man, I'm standing up to you, this is what I am. I'm a changed man. Because if you put your tail between your legs and you won't tell your friends that you've changed, they'll suck you right back into the trash. When I changed my life, I went to my friends and said, I don't listen to that anymore. I'm done. I gave it up. I don't do that anymore. I don't do this anymore. I am changed. You need to testify of what God has done for you. I found that the more others know a person is trying to gain victory over a habit, the less apt the person is to return to the habit. It's called positive peer pressure. You put pressure on you. I had somebody tell me, they said, should I give it up and publicly? I said, that's up to you. And they said without me saying it, I better. Amen. It'll make me do right. Put the pressure on yourself. If you want to break loose of the habit. I got serious about my Christian service. God's children glorify God and testify to their deliverance, which helped them not to go back. Let me give you a couple of examples, and I'm going to be done. Bondage. Let's take the bondage. Did you know sin, gossip is sin? Let's take the bondage of gossip. You just gossip. Always talking. Always saying wrong. First of all, you're going to have to admit that you gossip. Stop justifying it. You ain't got anything good to say about people, just don't say anything. And don't listen to it. Something can't come out your mouth unless it came in through your ears. So number one, I admit it. I'm a gossip. Number two, the law of freedom, remember? According to James 3:6, it is a sin to gossip. The Bible says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. If you're a gossip, you need the law of freedom. Now there the Bible says, it is wrong to gossip. That's powerful. Step number three, the law of separation. What do? You say, I've got to stop running with the critics. I've got to stop running with the gossips. I've got to stop sitting with them at church. I'm going to stop calling them on the phone. I will separate myself from the critical people. That is, if you want to overcome it. You got to admit it. You got to find a verse that'll conquer it. Then you got to separate from it because that's what God said. Say, well, I know all the verses. You can know all the verses in the world, but if you won't obey them, it won't do you any good. And the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. You can't overcome your habit unless you obey God about how to do it. So admit it, and then you find a verse on it, and then you separate from the people that are participating in it. Number four, the law of replacement. You say, gossip? How do you replace it? You start praising people. You say positive things. You stop looking for good, or you stop looking for bad, and you start looking for good. You start promoting good and positive, and you promote victory. So, I admit it. I find a verse to conquer it. I totally separate from it. I replace the bad gossip with good praise. Number five, the law of association. I will now associate with positive people. Maybe you should set by somebody else in church. Amen. I'm going to find somebody that is widely known for praising God. Amen. Hey, you know, you run from somebody that says, amen, preacher, every once in a while in church. You need to go set by him again. Amen. What are you doing? You're replacing the bad with the good. And number six, I testify. I praise God. I will testify of positive things publicly in church and to my peers. I will speak of deliverance. I will not speak of captivity. So what have I done? I've got the habit of gossip. I admit that it's there. I conquer it with the scripture. I totally separate from gossips and critics. I replace it with good praise. I associate with positive people. Then I praise publicly the good things that are going on. The reason why some of you are so negative is you spend all your time talking to gossips. You're in bondage there and you need to break free. This will work for any area of your life. Let me help you with another one. The habit of overeating. Man, the altar will be full tonight. And it'll only take about 10 of us. Number one, I admit that I eat more food than my body really needs. I'm unhealthy. And again, I'm not picking on you. Do you know one of the biggest money makers in the United States of America today is diet? Yes, sir. Listen to me. I'll teach you biblically. And I'm going to guess this is better than Richard Simmons sweating to the oldies. Yeah. Number one, I admit that I have a problem. Number two, I need the law of freedom. So, according to Proverbs 23:21, gluttony is sin. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. The Bible teaches you to take care of your body. It's very, very clear. I admit it. I find a verse that can conquer it. The law of God is more powerful than your habit. Number three, the law of total separation. I must stop going to eat at all the fast food restaurants. I need to stop going to the dessert bar. You know what I do? I say, you know what, honey, I'm going to go up there and just get a little bit of that. I like that. I like that kind of like chocolate cake with the hot chocolate syrup stuff on it. And I always say, I just want a bite. And I go up, and I get enough in case I need more than one bite. Before long, I ate the whole bowl, and I said, honey, I just want to get one more bite. Now, I'll tell you something. You're not going to tempt yourself constantly like that. You can't buy two boxes of Twinkies and then hide them from yourself. I'll get these. I'm not eating them, I promise. Then why'd you get them? I've got good intentions, but in case there's a breakdown, I'll need them. So you're going to have to separate. Some of you will just have to separate yourself. You need to get up and walk away from the table. The longer you sit there, the more is going on your plate. I admit I've got a problem. I find a verse that tells me I'm to take care of my body and not overeat. I separate from the things that will cause me to be overweight. The law of replacement. I'll replace my ice cream cone with fruit and salad and lots of water. Some of you just need to start ordering water instead of soda. Eat a salad at the beginning of your meal instead of ice cream. You've got to replace the bad with the good. Check every diet. Check every diet on the market. And I'll tell you, if they're successful, they find their roots in the Word of God. Any success, any victory over the flesh is found in the Word of God. What's next? Law of association. I must find others who have controlled appetites and spend my time with them. I need to maybe learn to go to the gym and instead of Dairy Queen. Number 6, I need to testify. Probably it would be good that you thank God when you make progress. And if you have a good friend, it doesn't hurt to have somebody to say, hey, I lost another pound. I did it. But you need to give God the glory. You can give up bad music, drugs, TV, a sex addiction, cigarettes, all of it. God tells us how. I love this. Look at this. Are you saved tonight? If you're not saved, you're in bondage. What you need to do? Number 1, admit you're lost. Admit it. Number 2, the law of freedom is the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free. Number 3, His blood will cover your sin and He'll see it no more. That's the law of separation. Number 4, God will give you a new life in Christ Jesus. That's the law of replacement. Number 5, then when God looks at you, He'll see you are a son of God like Jesus. He will associate with you as a part of His holy family. What's that? Law of association. And number 6, you make it public after you get saved and let everybody know you got born again. Breaking free from the bondage of sin is just like breaking free from the bondage of your habit. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.